second part of this session is for morning, and now Alan and Stefano will run the discussion.
Okay. This morning you mentioned the importance of this revised.
Yeah, the Blazar sequence.
Blazar sequence. We talked about that. And
I think we should have them play with each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot easier, yeah. We are hoping to feed into the Fermi senior review today. One of the side effects of the meeting is that there's a senior review that NASA will be holding in February, and all of the satellites that have gone beyond a certain age, and now that includes the Hubble Space Telescope and Chandra, as well as Fermi and Swift and Kepler and other missions, they will be competing for funds to continue the missions beyond somewhere, I think, starting about a year from now. They need to have funds to continue. And so the Fermi LAT team is preparing a senior review document with a lot of input from the Fermi users group that I'm the chair of. And also they want to get input from the rest of the community. And so part of the reason we're having this meeting is to find out what the exciting things are that Fermi's doing in the field of blazars and so on. So part of our discussion is to try to help them have some more fuel for putting into the senior review. Okay, so Stefano and I both agree that we should start off with the controversy stirred by Paolo Padovani this morning about the new explanation of the blazar sequence is pure selection effects from the way that you do the observations, and there's really not much physical basis behind it except for having the low luminosity sources doing somewhat different things from the high luminosity sources. So we had some starts of nice attacks on that this morning. Do you want to continue that? I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
Mention a little bit. I was riding the bicycle earlier, so Stefano can sit down.
No,
I okay. Sorry, Chuck.
Okay, so
artificial, but since you're energy,
Don't ask me how, I don't know the details, but this book comes out very preliminary results. So, it's consistent. But I can't tell details. I can't tell details. So, because, you know, if we are working on it and probably something, and I don't know.
No, I can't tell you
this because I don't know.
You did it. Okay. Matt Lister, Padavani and Yomi, they use a normal distribution of the Lorentz factors of the jets, as I understand it, right? Use a normal distribution. I remember from your thesis that that normal distribution didn't seem to work well for the distribution of superluminal velocities and so on. So, revisited that to decide what the distribution of Lorentz factors among the population of sources is likely to be?
Every indication is that the distribution of Lorentz factors is our law, and that results in the Delta factor. Put in a single Lorentz factor, the whole population, that won't hold. The other aspect is that HFVs are turning out well as slow as we. So everything that I'm doing in my shop is at least the radial pump is going to blow off of that. So the question then is, there's this hidden population, highly beamed high spectral peak sources, there should be some indication of the highly beamed, at least with the radial. And so far we have.
And now it is, but it is true that in BLAC, for example, which is a source that has a fairly reasonable superluminal velocity, around 5C or so, that it has a lot of stationary structure, and it's actually easier to see a lot of the stationary stuff than it is to see the stuff that's moving. And it looks, at least to me, when I look at an object like Markarian 421, where pain is as great. Now, Flynn Pigers has found out from more thorough studies than other people have done that stuff is moving slowly or hardly at all. Well, we see a lot of stuff that's moving slowly or hardly at all on sources that we also see supernormal things going down. So I wonder if the Markarian 421s are sources where the moving things are even fainter relative to the stationary thing. And so that what we're seeing and what we're seeing very quite slowly are these stationary things. Is there evidence against that?
Well, that's a not contrast.
Yes.
And so there, it's a recognition problem. But if you assume that the not contrast, then you expect the variability to be low, which it is in the radio. But on the other hand, if you've got a highly beamed jet, that's going to really up any sort of intrinsic variability. And so you should see at least poor variability. Even though you might be able to see the blob through that screen, you should see if there's any little injection that produces a light with the spike, then the Doppler factor will really boost that up, and you should see a poor variation.
One way
to see that, Markarian.
Yeah, I was going to say that all the indications in the radio, you know, apart from the low superluminal speeds, are that the high spectral peak sources have low Lorentz factors, Doppler factors in the radio, based on variability, brightness, temperatures, core dominance. Pretty much any measure of Lorentz factor or Doppler factor can apply.
Polarization.
The value of a few.
Yeah, polarization. We're finding now correlation between the level of polarization. Centimeters with particular speed. And again, they have lower core polarization, which is guys. And that fits in with that approach. So again,
you're saying that the less polarization, the lower the speed?
It's an envelope. So the ones which have low core polarization, none of them are highly speed.
3273 is.
But these are FRA 50.
Ah. Okay, so if you take this HFC, then it's
so I think for the HFCs, yeah, you're working at something where the Lorentz factor and Doppler factor could be high for the gamma ray emission, but all indications are it's only a few for the radio.
Okay, now what's the possibility that we're seeing, in these objects, we're seeing a peak, whereas the gamma rays are seeing a spine?
If it's a sheet issue, it has to go back to the SED continuity. So, fine, you can say the radio is in a sheet, some other spine. But then, would you not expect a discontinuity in the SED, where one is highly beamed, the other is not? So how on earth do you get any correlation at all, for example, especially if they have different meeting factors? So, and the other trend that I showed yesterday is nice continuity between the HSD and LSD in terms of their gamma ray loudness versus their spectral hardness. So that's a huge range of spectral hardness. So you have a nice trend that's the whole way to get the LSD. If this fine sheet, just the HSDs, then you have to say this fine sheet is the population, I think. Otherwise, it gets us a good population.
Hey, Paulo, do you know what would happen to your distribution if you had a parallel distribution of Lorentz factors instead of a
normal? As I said, we changed the value. We also put independence of the thermal radio power. The names have been changed. We can certainly do a check. I can't tell you now, but as I said, we did various checks.
The sources exist.
Yeah,
these are the sources that populate the forbidden core fireworks.
High power.
Let's say 1 kVDT, 10.79%.
Oh, no, that's pretty much. It's that's the 44% in rain.
Oh, I was thinking you think it was this.
No.
Can you translate this to the
second
person? Well, then the thing is you know that is the drive. So this is maybe you can file this agreement, because maybe there are not disagreements. Yeah. What I'm saying is that there is nothing. My question is, do you claim that there are things like this is 29 as part of the 29 that
No. It's a factor of the 100 low in power. There's nothing as high as the top factor.
Then I just. Well, I hope you meant.
I should have thought you meant.
Now, if I'm going to correct this, then now we remove the FSI fields. We found a very good correlation between the gamma and the music. They removed out the FSI fields from the sample, and then they left only the BLX, and they found a very, very tight correlation, what appeared to be a tight correlation between gamma and DP, and then maybe power compared to comment on that, whether these classifications can distribute that.
We haven't gone to the gamma, the gamma ray.
Oh,
actually,
I'm sorry, yes.
I don't want to stop the exit, so I can't comment on that. Can I give a positive twist to the discussion?
Well, I don't, the end is negative.
No. I think the message that came out this morning is that various groups are saying that there are two types of places. We have things which have low kinetic power, low radio power, they basically have no lines, and things which have high radio power, their lines, like strong or strong. But so I think the three groups, whatever, seem to agree on that. I think that's reassuring.
So the low radio power, the answer is right.
Yes. I agree.
Because basically, the break from the peak all the way down to the radio, and the two that are the radio, so you
don't have to. Correct.
By the way, the galactic force works like that. Yes, I mean they all appear to be radio quiet because the subatomic frequency, the flat core, starts at optical or UV frequency. By the time we go to the 1 GHz, there's very little luminosity there compared to the bolometric. So they, by all means, they qualify as radio quiet. On the other hand, spectrally, it will be just like X-ray selective wavelength.
Can Justin or Randy know of Parker's comment on this?
I agree with you that different people, different groups find this necessity to give lasers into real lasers and less real, well, you know what I mean.
So I
think on this we are comparing towards the consensus at least among the groups here. One thing I'd like to add though is that for the low power sources, we should not forget, and this goes back to the discussion of velocity gradients, either through spine shift or through acceleration or through the reality also to two fold. Let us not forget that there are no radio galaxies, like FR1 radio galaxies, that fit at one kg, that fit at 10 kg. This is not the case. There is no selection effect against time. This, to me, can be reconciled only if you have velocity gradient that takes the source of 15.1 kg and when it's aligned, takes it down to a peak of 10 meters. The same picture you see in the gamma ray envelope, which I guess part of the term in the morning. You don't see anything in the low power hard source, and there is no selection effect against that. You see low power steep source, so why not see low power hard source? I think that the idea of some type of velocity gradient for the weak sources, it could help that.
Yeah, and we see in our 43 gigahertz DLVA images of Hyperion 421 and 501 that they're much radio brighter at the edges of the jet, so we see clear transverse profiles across the jet. So whether that's related to a velocity gradient or not, there's definitely an intensity gradient, the being brighter, center, dimmer.
Okay, one question for the Fermi Senior Review report is whether these various unification schemes, or I should say bigger sequence schemes, whether further Fermi observations are going to be able to test these sorts of things. Mark's saying that there may be some dichotomy at the low power gamma ray, is that right?
Yeah, what not only is how sustained the effect. So more than one groups.
I don't recall. I just read the early draft of the reference. I don't recall how much of that survived from the white paper. How much of that survived with this other thing? But we want to make sure that's in there, since there's a new proposal in to test these populations in that altitude. I want to shift gears, if Donna will allow me. I'm confused about these gamma ray spectra. I'm confused because after the first last catalog, it looked like there's some sharp breaks. And now the last catalog, the second last catalog, changed the sharp breaks to the log parabolic spectra. And there's some people, there's a couple of papers, Putin and Stern, and also Fink and Dermer, who were trying to explain how you get these sharper breaks. So for the observers, what is it? Is it sharp breaks that we need to strain to explain, or are they log parabolic, or maybe it indicates that the acceleration of the electrons is second order Fermi or something like that?
The catalog uses a parabola just because it's really simple. It's the power. First of all, it's not that easy to treat while you know parabola. So that's essentially, the catalog itself doesn't really much to go into.
I thought
the
log
parabola
and alpha and beta and
no, that's one more. and that's the reason. And there are only five banks over which this there are five banks that even have this actually couldn't hold. So that's the reason. I mean, I think.
Yeah, taking that even as they slowly come up with the reason in the sense that the black was observed mainly on the and right during the first 3 months of the while if you study this, you know a temporal result of the cost of the suit, you can find this black when the suit is very bright, you have a much more similar voice on that. While when the suit going to find feedback can treat it. For an example is on EKS. In the final state, you have more or less a power law when it's very bright, it's a power law with an exponential cabal. So the shape of the spectrum, like models and so on, is changing, takes account of variability of the source.
That you could just have more understandably that the spectrum was not power. So that the IMA was derived where is the peak of the spectrum. But if you see the correct way to fit is to use a power load with an exponential power, not a broken power load, because up to some dBA the spectrum is very hard and then now, like a more or less. So the spectral shape are changing from object to object. And in this case, you see also that the peak moving during the different phases. So clearly, we now have to study the suit to different brightness states and as the modeling, because the modeling are more or less different states.
I have a question for that. Not only for Tommy, but in general. We saw that it seems to appear that a few open pairs are coming up, but not only the GB, but also the GB. So.
There are a lot of open pairs around there.
So this could be a challenge for the modeling world. Just a result of the denser monitoring resources, which usually could be, but in any case, those events should be positive to take into account. Both in modeling and also in the recovery
resources. Yeah, there are too many ways you can turn on an optical synchrotron source, and optical electrons also doing something in the damage.
I think it is. But how about doing another here?
I think there's a new thing to watch and one more model to display.
Well, who wants the one zone model? Nobody wants the one zone model anymore.
if we do simple calculations, but yeah, when you do a test like that, you can do one zone model.
Okay. What I mean is that making resources, you can have different activities.
And it's not as technically pleasing, and it's not easy to draw conclusions if you have. General problem, but this may be the advantage.
Well, yeah, I agree with that, but how do you get an optical spike with you know what the energy of the electrons are, right? They're thousands, one factor of thousands. And then you see nothing in the gamma where anything with one factor of thousands could make something in the gamma.
One way out is that the gamma flux is dominated by another component, which is very commonly dominated, and that means you must also. And then when you flare, when you try to pull off the component, it's going to be the same kind of issue.
Is that something you really want to explain? Howell was right. You don't want to explain everything. Because then you put enough, so many parameters, then you get lots of parameters.
No, well, that's the point. You can't get lots of parameters. But
so
you don't want
to
ignore things that are telling you something.
But that's
when you have an orphan flare, an orphan flare is a signature of something going on. And you need to be able to explain. Maybe you don't.
don't need to explain every single one that happens. We need to be able to explain how they can happen at all.
Oh, I mean, democracy didn't take them enough to do that.
That was an evil twin.
About the break, can I say something?
Yeah.
The first thing we need to do is we need to check if there is a break in the symmetry spectrum. And if there is not one, then we need to go after the question of what is breaking. If there is no corresponding break in the symmetry spectrum.
Well, there is. There's always, almost always a break in the spectrum.
No,
I meant in
a source like this 454.3 where we see this nice break. 2 GB rest energy. If there is something similar,
yeah, there is,
then there's not this one.
Well, in part of it, if you cut and scatter a sharp wave, you're not going to
get it as sharp wave.
It is a sound golden Buddha. It is a signal.
You need to find the break in the electric spectrum.
Yes, but then the issue is different. The issue is, I do not understand part of the acceleration for that. The issue is not some. I have an absorption event. You go to two different logical paths. And
but the question is, what are the measurements needed to resolve that dichotomy? Is it intrinsic electron spectrum break, or is it some sort of absorption effect? What are the observations we need to make?
The famous observations throughout
you need coverage of the higher end of the synchrotron.
Which is, Jeremy can't provide that. Sorry.
That's really mind something which is of all possible. In many cases, you see breaks in real acts of the optical and synchrotron components which are non canonical, they are not the point type breaks. And we all felt very comfortable about them, we shouldn't. But there are breaks that are stiffer than point type, they are break, they are not cut off, they are not experienced at the point. And we all went on with our lives happy.
No, I addressed that at the last term meeting. So not all going along happening. Some of us are worried about it. But Dave, to answer your question, if the break is caused by the Stern and Putinen thing, then it shouldn't change energy because their break is caused by helium lines, and you've got the gamma ray photons already left the emission region, they're now going through this cloud which has helium photons, and that break tends to always occur at the same energy. So if you find a break changing with energy, then that will keep up that model.
And there's another issue with your model that if you want to have the helium photons keeping your gamma ray photons away, there's lots of cooler electrons. And this is happening in the transition between the Thomson and the Klein signal. It's going to make your electron distribution. The paper we have about this other project is going to make it harder. So you harden, then you eat it, you get no breakthroughs. But what Jerry said is let's assume that it's a power law problem that I'm giving as an input. With the power law problem as an input, you need the power law of electrons. It's not what you did for
the No, that's the point that they have to make it worse before. So. You have power law electron injection and cooling in the time machine usually get a harder spectrum that compensates for the time of the spectrum.
Yeah, that is why we ask the cooling. Yeah, but
that is something dominated.
What do you think of for SSC from a kind of 501? I think they will not be that for a cell phone. This argument does not break all special elements within the truth.
Yeah,
we should see something going up like crazy.
But I'm not sure about that. Because you
My feeling is you're the possible role of the longer the bridge. I mean, I'm starting to see some kind of obviously the second order approach is more about interesting alternatives as well. And they are apparently they can also make very nice things. They don't have this sometimes you see this 4.5 pound bridge. I'm not saying you can't do a lot of things out of line that cool. But you can also make very nice and very simple on gravel roads, which are based on a whole different approach to particle accelerators. And you do introduce this into the physical effect, which I realize as well, that if you have an injection of some sort of, say, let's just say the power on the electron distribution, and you'll scatter an external monochromatic photon source, you can find a Sheena great independently of the Doppler factor as long as you're away from the impact. And so we've alluded to this in our 3C4.3 paper, but if you take a log parabola and it has some width that you can vary, it's a very low parameter model which is predicted the tracker, and scatter Lyman alpha and 3C4.3 as a really small log alpha signature, you get this break right at the right range. It's too hard if you use the power law, the open features, if you have cool linear, then you get the hard linear, it makes it even worse. But if then you just override all those concerns, say new acceleration scenario, forget cool linear. But are we ready to take that approach? No, but we should be open to it. And I think I can get a really good fit for this piece of work.
Was
that
a regression of the Baker-Germer paper?
No, I'm just saying this is an alternate way to look at it, right? So we have to be careful about these things.
Dr. Lopalabola, that's a comment. If you
want to go to
second order, then we can do
the
test order for you.
To give a
large parabola? Yeah, as long as you have the capacity by the ability in your maximum energy. So the maximum energy does not be 5 something, it's the capacity by the ability to take on the capacity to the maximum.
Okay, but there's one step further. That's just a log parabola function. This is log parabola involved with the Compton scattering. So
yeah, but then just looking at the data. Of course, you can blend on that. It doesn't match your. Okay, so the second indicator, there's a number of ways of producing the shape of the spectrum. And then the question is what can Fermi do over the next several years to resolve that, and I guess the answer is just to keep getting spectra.
If you have a longer mission, better chance to start the state. And if you have a longer mission, better chance to start the state. And that's when you get the high state. And so it is for the winning state. Not the chance to go up there.
Well, 036 will 710. Back a few years ago.
So we want to make that point. I like to make that say,
also comes back to the needs to yesterday comment by Julie about quantum observation of Fermi, because if you want to have really very good statistics, I need to get the third in an event or a pair in the source to form the source for increasing the chance of having a good test.
Look, that was under for 3C4.5.3 in April 2010, and we must have gotten a really good test.
Is that something that we see?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking to
I have to predict, I mean, there's a point that you see for all that in the show about this.
Didn't see much variability, but that was fine. And then say, well, we didn't have that extra variability. Forgetting the spectrum, now you can integrate the high plus state.
We did go. Okay, we didn't know much. I mean, we're going to affect the decisions they had. But then the one at that point is taking that actually it's 10 tools like the sort of 80 10 like 5 later.
Concerning our understanding of the general properties of the object, is better to study the single term or to study the long term of the individual properties or also a different level of properties? Okay. Probably are not always the same. We can sample just different categories like each class be related to some different or change of condition inside the jet that is not a vacuum like structure. And connected to this, for the population studies that are using values. That are taken from a single observation, so on. So the status of the sources that are plotted in different movements of form are just taken without knowing if that point was corresponding to a normal state of the source or a very state of form. The variability can have some effect, but not only the fact that the points are varying because they are in the class, but also because the origin of this variation could be different types. Right? That we don't know these things. And sometimes also the quantities that are used by the radio astronomer, like the adopted factor, the magnetic field, the opening angle, are very different from what is used to model a flare. So if we cannot understand the relation between what we can really measure, the Doppler factor from the radio, and what is happening when the source is flaring, probably we are missing something.
I take that to be a plea for the theorists to look at closer, more closely the parameters determined from the radio.
Credit to Paul Bell.
I would say, yeah. Yeah, another thing about the gamma ray spectra that I had the impression from the first year and a half or so of experimenting with them, and maybe it's different now, was that the spectral shape didn't change too much at different flux levels. So it was roughly constant. Now I know 3.4 by 4.3 is flattened, but only very modestly at the high flux state relative to the lower flux state. Whereas I don't know about other people who try to look at the very good theoretically. I mean, you can set an FDP at a particular time, but when you try to do these dynamic FDPs at different times, it's kind of hard to get to have the flux level change by as much as you see and have the spectrum also not get deeper or flatter. Marcus, how do you feel about that?
You're right. That is a big problem. Lots of areas that are out there. Some kind of spectral variability among
them. I think that's most particularly on the scene. When you look at the white sources and you just look at the open detect of the white sources or the heat star, you can see that is the version staying out. Yeah. It's very close. It means that, if you are considering many sources and if you look at the same sources next year, you will see the same distribution there. And so we can see the population is not growing and they are facing.
Sometimes the video also started just doing some flares.
Essentially, you have a photon index in the topography of the source. It's like that. When I would be nice to see the guidance for that. But if you're looking at the system of time, and so
you think that's a robust observation as opposed to being able to measure well when it's at a high flux state, and then just, you know, when it's a low flux state, the best you can do is to use that as a starting model. And then
I think the exception that they found that probably
the question I have for what they're making in the future is, what dynamic range do we have in brightness level, in flux level, in the gamma ray, over which the spectral index seems to be constant, and how far down can we push that, at the low flux end of that, to confirm whether it also has the same spectral index, or if it's it's different at low flux, at really low flux. So what's our current dynamic range that we have to say, because I know it's 4.5, 4.3 got really bright, then it's
exactly. Then it's flat. It's a factor of 40 or 50 plus
4.3.
That's really remarkable. That's what we see during the deep flow in September 9th. That was not followed. Because that's like your radio. During the flare, that's okay. So, but because the flare was more or less clean, most of the time you have a good position of several flares. So, probably the position of different components.
How much is the variability in the photon?
It was about 0.5.
Are you sure the other one was?
Mm-hmm. One flare was caused by lights and the group with the black, and the other was counter the flare. In 3C454.
Yeah. You have a flare. That's the old flare for example.
So when it gets down to say 2 times 10 to the minus 7, then you need to integrate for a month, right?
You can become like.
Do you think we'll get anything qualitatively different from the next several years of Fermi? Well, pretty much we already know the answer. The spectral changes are modest except for the small number of deaths.
We managed to correlate with all of these advanced things, so that it's
that the observed, the currently observed spectral variations are a lot more modest than what you would expect in theory at the different flux levels. Which is predicted at a quite highly variable flux level.
This also connects to what Amanda is doing, in the sense that only when you saw a flare like the physical factor for this flare, for which you had enough statistics to see the cooling times are different in high and low gamma areas. So if you had more of this flare, it would be better statistics where the issue is coming.
For example, if you have two flares, you should have the performance of the statistics for the flare.
Yeah, well, I would say that's fine if gamma is 10 or 20. Yeah. Gamma. So gamma is 2 or 3. Oftentimes, see the broad sheet about things. That's fine.
Okay, so take that one, misalign it just a little bit, so that's chained off the factors.
And that's related to the reason why we have difficulty blocking misaligned galaxy.
Yeah, but my argument is it's got to be some connection between the sheet and phi, such as with the signal 50. Okay, gamma. Fine split.
Okay, I'll have to think about that. But obviously, they're not independent quantities. They're all.
Yeah, I think you have to cook it in some very fine. Yeah. It's something that you have to do this.
In favor of that, then we have seen some objects like this is today at some point. Where you see a lot of very slowly moving stuff, and then these very fast twists of things, you see that you can actually sense more polarization action that goes through at much faster speed. We've always thought of the stationary stuff as being a standing shock or something, but it could be something in the surrounding region that then really fast stuff moves through. It merely fast stuff just isn't lit up as much because it's not making the same particles. But the signal kind of goes down fast. I told you with an interaction with the chief here and there, you can still see things that are quite super moving things. So it's interesting to think about it. And those lines are been proposed by Giannis et al. That there's a jet figure that we haven't talked much about at this conference. Where you have imagine the magnetic degree connection to bring out magnetic degree connection is kind of like the turbulence zone of denser kilometers. You know, people just kind of invoke it when they start to understand that it's happening on that. But he says that could energize could put some local kinetic energy into the region of the jet that then will cause it to move at a higher Lorentz factor than the average jet flow. And then that's been modified over the summer by Ryan and Ron. Who wanted to say, okay, the relative turbulence, which is again handled, the relative turbulence is turning things around so that you get some things that have wind factors that may be a factor of 2 faster than the general flow. Are there arguments against that we brought up? First of all, then secondly, is there a way that we can use future thermia to test it? You want to take that on? Have you thought about these?
You're the expert on turbulent magnetic lines. I shouldn't say anything.
Yeah, no, relative turbulence, I mean, it's one of those things that probably only other classified military research that
explain the upper players.
This is the common relation between a turbulent and the spectrometric gamma. So the difference that our effect.
What do they propose to explain that?
The idea also for what the mind understands, that you can have jets up in jets. First, you have a magnetic field which carries energy, and the energy can be dissipated within the bulk output of the jet without the interaction with another medium or another shell, like a unified shell. So you can actually dissipate that energy without an external medium interaction. Yeah. And it comes out, you can send it out in little jets and get all these very short and rather powerful lifts.
Wow. It's like the TV
players
will have
to
admit
it. Yeah. Then what is left? If you put everything you want by hand, then to explain everything you see, what is left?
Yeah, so in that case, they're talking about the players kind of being ad hoc sort of event for the tournament. And really, it's is there any other explanation for the fast TV player?
No. I have some unpublished stuff on my shelf that's available, but slow efficiency. So what's your point of power?
And, well, if anyone can think of a way that you can test these ideas with the mathematics of Fermi, then I'll send an email. Then an email, that's a good one.
I think we're making dessert now.
Thank you.